Hell not.
That's nice.
Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. Now here with Music on Records is Howard Miller.
Thank you, Joe Foss, and once again, how do you do? For Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum, from still a rather foggy little old spot in the Middle West, we're all set to speak to all of our great friends across the country for Wrigley Spearmint and also in the world of music. Today I think we have a most pleasant surprise for you. We're going to take you back in the mind's eye of memory to the Roaring Twenties, back in the 1920s, which was probably one of the most frantic decades in the history of our great nation, and recapture some of the great thrills. Now, in those years, for those of you who are old enough to remember, there was a young gentleman by the name of Gene Austin, probably the top record seller of all times, because in his career, which spanned that decade of the 20s and the 30s, Gene Austin racked up a total record sale of approximately 86 million records. Well, today I'm pleased to say that Gene Austin has made a startling comeback as a member of the RCA Victor team of recording artists. Gene is here in our studio. We're going to talk to him. But as a pleasant surprise, and I don't think you knew that we were going to do this, Gene, we dug into the archives of our CBS file of records here, and we found one of the old Brunswick Masters, one of the old records that were made back in the 1920s, which still remains one of the greatest selling records of all times. And Gene, I think you'll find this a pleasant surprise to hear yourself back 30 years ago as you were the first winner of a gold record with 12 million records sold of My Blue Heaven.
When whippoorwills call and evening is nigh, I hurry to my blue heaven. A turn to the right, a little white light will lead you to my blue heaven. You'll see a smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and baby makes three. We're happy in my blue heaven. A fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and baby makes three. We're happy in my blue.
Well, you're recapturing a thrill today. Gee, I remember I was just a little bitty boy, and my daddy and mommy bought home a phonograph with a couple of records, and I remember as just a little tyke listening to Gene Austin, and yet here we are today, It seems like a century later, sitting across from this wizard of sound who did such a great job then and is still doing it. We're going to talk now to Gene in just a minute. Before we do, though, let me say a word about Wrigley Spearman. You know, I could say just one word, and I think it would speak volumes for this product. I could just say the word good. And Wrigley Spearman chewing gum is good. It's good to taste. It's good for you. Because, you see, there's always a clean and exciting, refreshing taste to Wrigley Spearman. It's good for your teeth because the chewing action keeps your teeth clean and attractive. Keeps your breath always sweet. So I'd like to recommend to you that if you want a good product, you get good Wrigley Spearman chewing gum. It's delicious. I know that you'll always like it. But you ask for it by that name, if you will, please. When it's convenient, you ask for Wrigley Spearman chewing gum. Good. Well, let's talk to the man that I've been wanting to talk to, Gene Austin. Gene, if memory serves me right, I think that you're the first record artist who ever achieved the award of the gold record for selling 1 million copies of one song. Isn't that true?
Well, that's true, Howard. However, I didn't get the gold copy because they didn't give them out in those days.
No, in those days it wasn't used as a symbol of supremacy in the industry. That was, of course, My Blue Heaven, wasn't it, Gene?
No, I had some before that, 1 million copy songs, Howard. However, Blue Heaven was the biggest record that I ever sold. It sold around 7 million.
Well, what were some of those earlier ones, Gene?
Oh, I had one called Bye Bye Blackbird, one called Tonight You Belong to Me, Forgive Me. All of those were big songs.
Now, after these earlier successes, and this was back in the late 30s and the early 40s, wasn't it?
No, this is in the early 20s. It was back in the 20s.
No, but I mean that you practically retired from the record industry.
Oh, I see. That was about the early 30s, yeah.
Yes, and now this resurgence into popularity on the wings of the great Victor label, I suppose, is a real exciting new challenge for you, isn't it?
It really is. I'm getting a real bang out of it because it's something that, it's sort of like history repeating itself. You at least know where you're going now. Before, it was sort of an uncharted sea.
Yes. How is the technique of recording today, Gene, vastly different than it was in those days?
It's much more simple. It's very easy now to record. In those days, you had to have a technique. You had to know how to record, because some words would splash, what we call splash, and others wouldn't. In other words, if you opened your mouth, you had to say it gently.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't, you had to get in real close, and different things would set up a resonance in
yes.
the horn.
Well, now, there have been other vast changes, of course, in the industry in the 20 years elapsed since you were the teenage swoon king. Today they shake a little bit when they sing. You know, they strum guitars and shake. Did you use any gimmicks like that, Gene, on your personal appearances, or did you just sing?
Well, I used to just sing. Of course, I used to sing a lot of rhythm songs, what we call rhythm songs, just same as they do now. In fact, my first big hit with the Victor Company was Yes, Sir, That's My Baby. We
sure.
made a lot of noise with it. And used to sing a lot of rhythm songs. However, I found that the ballads were the ones that sold the best, and that's the one that Victor usually want me to make.
Yes. What do you feel about music over these intervening years? You've seen a change of style, a change of types of music, or is there not too radical a change? Are things not too different today than they were when you were in your heyday?
I don't see very much change. There's not a whole lot. Once in a while, you'll see all the male singers they seem to like. And once in a while, it'll be all the girl singers. And they'll like bands. They won't care for singers.
And this is not unlike it was in your earlier days.
That's right.
Gene, where did... let's go back now and digress for a moment from our current story. Where did it begin for you those years ago?
The recording business, you mean?
Well, the whole show business industry for you. Did you start down in your home state?
No, I started... I went to school in Baltimore. Went to the University of Maryland, studied law. I left there and went in show business, and another fellow myself, and we played all the little theaters around for about a year, and we started playing big-time theaters, and then he met a girl, and she needed a piano player, so that was the end of our act, and I started writing songs. And in writing songs, I used to go down to the recording companies and demonstrate the songs for the publisher. And everybody talked about my voice, about recording, but finally the Victor Company did something about it. They called me down.
Well, other than the fact that you, of course, have achieved much greater success than I ever will, our careers then were almost parallel because I went to law school, too, and got weaned away from the work at the bar to do some of this stuff at the radio microphone level and television and so forth. Now, this, of course, is going to open up new avenues for you again because having done it once, the Victor people I know and most of your fans are certain that you're going to do it again with your new Victor record. And if so, that means that you're probably going to be actively engaged, I suppose, in television, radio, stage appearances, or are you going to sort of stay a little bit on the mild side of the business?
Well, I tell you what we're going to do right now. We're going to do this Goodyear Playhouse on Easter Sunday. It's a kind of a life story. It's a segment of the life story. Then we're doing a picture in Hollywood, a life story. And outside of that, I'll probably take a swing around, play the nightclubs one time, and then go fishing again, I imagine, after that.
That's your great hobby. Gene, how do you account for your enthusiasm all over again? I would think that having achieved it once, that maybe you'd be perfectly quieted down to a point where you could go fishing all the time. Is the lure of the business just too great?
No, it isn't at all. I'll tell you the truth. I have a wife that she hasn't been in this business, you see, and she kind of gives me that sharp elbow once in a while and said, I see where so-and-so is doing such and such.
You mean Elvis is all shook up, so what can we do about you, Gene? Is that the idea? Gene, let's give a salute now to our full network of CBS stations from coast to coast and salute a man who has contributed so much happiness to the American home by way of records earlier and now once again. So, Gene Austin, we salute you as we play your RCA recording of Fine Newey called Too Late.
It may be too late to say I'm sorry. Too late to cry. For tears won't wash away the wrongs of yesterday, or paint a pretty rainbow in the sky. It may be too late to say I love you, though it's never too late to try. It may be too late to say I'm sorry, sweetheart. Still, it's too late to say goodbye.
It may be too late
to say I'm sorry. Too late to cry, for tears won't wash away the wrongs of yesterday, or paint a pretty rainbow in the sky. It may be too late to say I love you, though it's never too late to try. It may be too late to say I'm sorry, sweetheart. Still, it's too late to say goodbye.
Swell record, Gene. Gosh, in just a quarter hour, in just 15 minutes, we've tried to span the history of 30 years of American music and American recording, and the man helping us and doing most of the job and recounting those experiences is the guest across from us, Mr. Gene Austin. Gene, if this is a hit all over again, I would presume that your next record for Victor will probably be Gone Fishing.
That's about right, Howard.
Well, I wouldn't blame you at all, because you certainly deserve plenty of time in the little old rowboat with a putt-putt in the back and a couple of smallmouth bass in the stringer. The best of luck to you, Gene Austin, on once again the great impact on the American public.
Thank you.
And it's wonderful having you here. Well, now, we're all finished with time here, because it's just about time for you to start thinking about the grocery list, get out and do a little shopping. And when you do, I hope that you'll remember the product that we say is good. Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum, and you'll say so too when you try it. So remember to get Wrigley Spearmint when you shop today. Now, during this week, we're going to have the remainder of this week a couple of very interesting guests. And then, of course, we've got some real great stars lined up in the next couple of weeks. We got Jerry Lewis next Tuesday. We've got Dean Martin next Wednesday or Thursday. That should be a very interesting thing. We've got them separated by a couple of days, but we'll talk to both of them and find out what their thoughts are. And, of course, sharing the burden with us, and it's never a burden, it's always a pleasure, is a good pal by the name of Joe Foss. Joe, I've been meaning to ask you, what time is your CBS Network show on the air?
Well, Howard, it's on Saturdays at 12:55 and 5 o'clock New York time.
Now, friends, will you please listen? We'll see you tomorrow at the same time. Until then, thanks very much for Wrigley Spearmint, and see you tomorrow. Bye-bye for now.
And be sure and join Howard tomorrow at this same time when his guest will be Bob Scobie on the CBS Radio Network.
WBBM Chicago.